It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and I appreciate each and every one of you joining us. You each have purpose. Today, live with intention, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And my friends, I think we are at our 1776 moment, and we each have to step into this. We are in this epic battle of ideas. And Colorado is at the tip of the spear. We are the petri dish for everything they're trying to push forth. And this show that we do is, I think, very important to help you search for truth and clarity as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. So I thank each and every one of you for joining us. And I get to work with a great team and producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. Producer Steve, we've got a guest in studio today, and that is author and researcher Patty Kurgan.
And I know she has a full quiver for us.
Yes, she does. She has been working diligent. Patty Kurgan, it's great to have you in studio.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And let's go through some of the things. We always like to let people know how they can find our op-eds, our shows, and that is the Kim Munson website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. There's a couple of recent op-eds there. One that you did, a couple of weeks ago now, and it was Initiative 25, A Blind Leap of Faith.
Correct.
Done a lot of research on that, and you're doing another one.
Correct.
And on connecting the dots, and that's going to come out this Sunday, right?
It is.
Uh-huh. And so you will want to sign up for our weekly newsletter so that you'll get first look at that. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. As again, we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. I always, as I look at Steve, I kind of think that he wants to say something. I can kind of just see him over the monitor there, and maybe I'm not seeing that correctly, Steve. It's Friday.
Yeah, can you see me smiling?
I can't. That's the problem. That's what it was. It must be the smile.
No,
there.
Can you hear? Oh, that was wrong. For radio, can you hear me smiling?
Yes, that's true. You know what? It's true. You can hear people. You can hear moods on the radio through the voices. It's an interesting thing.
Oh, Lord, help me if they ever do an analysis between Friday and Monday.
True that. True that. Hey, be sure and check out America's Veterans Stories this Sunday at 3 p.m. and they rebroadcast it at 10. And this week's show, we did an interview with Bear Owen. He is a Vietnam veteran. He flew A-4s, A-6s, and we didn't really talk about the other jet that really got your attention, Producer Steve.
Yeah, it was the F-4 Phantom. And just as I told him that day when I was in Germany, the base that I was at had two different wings of F-4s, and you always knew when an F-4 was around because the ground shook.
Didn't get much sleep then. But anyway, fascinating conversation. It is an honor to get to do these interviews. And they come to you because I have some really great partners. And one of them is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, and that is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And if you're going to get together with friends, great place to get together. They have happy hour specials, lunch specials. Wednesdays are Wings Day. You buy 20 wings for dine-in or to-go, and you get 10 for free. But check all that out at my website, kimmunson.com. And I really do appreciate them as well. Patty, this is going to be quite the show. We're going to talk with Hal Van Herke in the second segment, another great partner of the show. And then this connecting the dots, this isn't just an op-ed from just now. This is kind of years of watching and connecting dots, experiences that you and I have talked about. There's a lot of time that's gone into these op-eds that you're doing.
It does take a lot of time, a lot of reading, going back many years, trying to figure out where ideas pop up, who came up with those ideas, why they came up with those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to what you say, who, what, where, when, why, mm-hmm. and how. You mm-hmm. have to start asking all those questions.
And that's what we're doing on this Initiative 25, which is, let's see, what is it, the Learning
Enrichment in Academic Progress Program.
Right. And it looks like that very possibly may be on the ballot this November. They're in the petition gathering stage currently.
Yes.
And so we'll talk about that in segments 3 and 4.
We will.
So stay tuned on that one. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, or livelihood, which we saw during this whole COVID thing, via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. And it's not just Bidenflation. There's all kinds of things going on, but it's government-induced inflation. And it's that silent thief because it takes away your buying power. So people that are on fixed incomes, what the money that they have coming in, it buys less. So they don't even realize that because of these government policies, rules, regulations, taxation, that is causing inflation, that it's, again, I say it's the silent thief that goes in and takes their money and they don't even really know it, Patty.
Oh, I agree. And when you say people don't even realize it, I think of the grocery store. And if you look at the packages, the size hasn't changed. But if you look at how many ounces are in that package, you will see that that has changed. So you're getting mm-hmm. less in the same package.
Right.
And you're probably paying a little bit more as well.
Well, and to that point, you may have the same package and you may be paying the same. Or now we're probably going to see the prices go up a bit. But I recall that with a graham cracker box. The graham cracker box was the same, but you opened it up and there were fewer graham crackers in there. I also saw it with whole berry cranberry sauce. It used to be 16 ounces, now it's 14 ounces, but the price is the same.
It's a great metaphor for our government, paying more and getting less.
Bada boom, that's your nugget for Friday morning right there from producer Steve. Patty, as I was thinking about this show and honesty and transparency, I was looking for honesty quotes, and here we are with William Shakespeare. And this is what he said. And we've done this recently, Steve, but I thought it was worth bringing it back. William Shakespeare was an English playwright, poet, and actor widely regarded as the greatest writer in the English language and the world's greatest dramatist. He is often called England's national poet and the Bard of Avon. Patty, actually, I think that he might be somebody that would be good for our kids to study during their school day instead of critical race theory and the sexualization of our kids through the LGBTQ curriculum. What do you think about that, Steve?
Well, you just basically encapsulated the whole second half of the show. But go ahead with this quote. I want to comment on this. Go ahead.
Okay. He says, "Honesty is the best policy. If I lose mine honor, I lose myself."
I'd like every politician at any level to step up to the microphone and say those words. Because in the face of what's going on, especially with voting integrity right now, if you lose your honor, you lose yourself. And how many of these people have honor anymore? So
there's some out there.
All right. Oh, yes. Yeah. So don't let me broad brush too much here. Yes.
But there's some. But what's so interesting, he was born in 15. Well, they don't know for sure when he was born. He was baptized in 1564 and he died in 1616. So what? He was a year before you in school. Is that right, Steve?
You see how she is? And she only liked this, Patty, when you're here.
Okay. Let's continue on. Several different things. First of all, I received a text message from somebody that I know in Arizona who had actually taken part in this audit. And it looks like the information is coming out on this audit. And a couple of things. It says that there were some real ballot duplication challenges. There were serial numbers that are required to match the original and duplicated ballot. Thousands of those ballots are either missing those serial numbers or have unreadable serial numbers printed over a dark black ballot identification box. Says the machine analysis, there was an inferior equipment verification process. Senator Peterson noted that if the EAC equipment verification process cannot handle evaluation by an audit, then we need a new certification procedure. Security breach. There was a cyber security vulnerabilities and missing security event data. It says Ben Cotton of Cypher emphasized the critical need for a router and Splunk log data. He gave four reasons. The November election system breach reported by Maricopa County and the Secretary of State. B, extreme cybersecurity vulnerabilities. The last malware and operating system security patch update was in August of 2019 when the Dominion software was originally installed. It would take less than 10 minutes to gain system-level access. C, security event data only goes back to 2/5/21. By design, the security log only holds 20 megabits, I think that is, of data. Strangely, on 3/11/21, there were 37,646 queries for a blank password that had had the effect of overwriting the data prior to 2/5/21. Okay, D, suspicious anonymous logins. Cypher has found anonymous logins on the system level that do not follow the pattern of normal Windows behavior. And it says, Maricopa County is unable to validate the security of the election system. The evidence provided suggests that only Dominion is able to verify the ICP configuration. Cotton explains that it's impossible to validate the security of an election system if you cannot independently validate the configuration. Cypher needs the authentication fobs held by Dominion to check ICP configuration. And then on the paper analysis, it says, ballot calibration was off by an average of 1,000%. Leading to a bleed-through which can cause overvotes or inaccurate vote attribution. The county has stated that they use thick vote secure paper, which should limit bleed-through in the event of miscalibration. However, the Cyber Ninjas team found a large number of ballots on very thin paper stock. The ballots printed on demand at the voting centers on Election Day has the worst calibrations issues. More than 168,000 ballots were affected. Then it says voter rolls. Voter roll anomalies affect more than 107,000 ballots. Doug Logan highly recommends canvassing based on the data that his team has reviewed. For example, there were 74,243 mail-in ballots with no clear record of being sent out. B, 11,326 who voted did not show up on the 11-7 voter rolls but are listed on the 12-4 database. C, 3,981 who voted on Election Day were registered after October 15th, which is a violation of state law. D, approximately 18,000 people voted on Election Day but were subsequently removed from the voter rolls. Envelopes. Maricopa County did not turn over images of the envelopes as requested on the January subpoena. The hearing concluded with review of the 17 missing items needed to complete the audit, many of them already subpoenaed, including router data, Splunk logs, hardware tokens, envelope images, chain of custody documentation, and all portable media. Fan stated the Senate will likely have to go back to the court to enforce the subpoena. And I think that Biden won that election by 10 or 11,000 votes. Yep. So, Patty, I'm not quite sure what we're going to do from that, but we just wanted to give that information because if we don't have free, fair, and honest elections, we don't have a country.
Absolutely correct. I think there's going to be a lot more information coming out of Maricopa County as well as in Georgia, Michigan, and some of the other states, Pennsylvania. There's a lot here in election integrity is so important. I don't want people to not show up at the voting booths because they're like, it doesn't matter. Well, have to have it.
And people do have to show up. If people had not shown up and we had so many people that had showed up for this election, if they not shown up, we would never have had a chance to take a look at this. So let's just go over here to Colorado quickly before we go to break. And that is, there are those here in Colorado that are really working for to check out our election. And they must be getting close to something because Jenna Griswold, Secretary of State, came out and did that executive rule or whatever saying that there can be no third party to take a look at our elections. And then she just came out and said the bipartisan
committee that's supposed to meet three times a year, the regulation that she put out was that the Secretary of State decides when they meet. So it's not even like a mandatory annual meeting, let alone the three that are in existence right now.
Yeah. I wonder who's telling her to say this kind of stuff. I think we'll find out. That's the thing about it. As long as we continue to search for truth and clarity, the truth is going to come out, Patty.
It has to. It just has to. It's the people. This is those machines. They belong to the people of the state. They have the right to go in and audit and make sure that the information that's coming out of them is correct. If we are as great as the Secretary of State office says that they are, then they should say, come on in, look what we've done. We're an A-plus state.
Gold standard.
Exactly. We have nothing to hide. Instead, their actions are making me think they have a lot to hide.
Acting like it.
Right. They're really closing off the ability to get the information.
That's for sure. Steve, did you have something you wanted to say before we go to break?
Well, I'll go back to that. It was a Friday, I believe, because she made that declaration on a Thursday. On a Friday, we talked about it on the show, and she used the verbiage, we don't need a sham investigation in Colorado. And I'm thinking the word sham probably more applies to your office than anything else.
And I think that we will find out. Although she's very busy. She's trying to kind of do whatever, upgrade the, I think it's the hardware on these machines, which would do exactly what it sounds like happened in Arizona, where you don't have any of those logs or whatever it is before a certain date. So we've got to stay on it, Patty.
Right. And it shouldn't be forgotten that according to federal law, you have to keep that for 22 months. So with these hardware updates that she wants to do, we won't have all the data that the state's supposed to keep.
Sounds like a little bit like a sham to me, huh? Okay. Well, let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation with Hal Van Herke. He and Linnea Van Herke, they're an owner of a small business right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And I always like to get his take on things. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And on the line with me is Hal Van Herke. He and his wife, Linnea, are entrepreneurs. They own a small business, Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And if you are a collector or a chef or a sportsman, need to get a wedding gift, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go for that. And that website is castlegate.com, castlegate.com. And Hal Van Herke, you are such a value partner of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's glad to be on the phone again. And thank you for all the support you do for our business as well.
Well, and just a quick note, you are a veteran. And for all of our veterans and our military personnel and first responders, because of what they do, you offer them a discount all day, every day at Castlegate Knife and Tool.
Yeah, if you come into our store in Sedalia, you can, if you're a first responder, a veteran, currently, you know, prior military, current military, et cetera, just show us your ID and we will give you 10% off anything in the store. If you want to use that on the website, you need to send us an email and we'll send you a one-time code that you can use to receive the same discount online.
Well, really appreciate it. And again, that is castlegate.com, castlegate.com. Hal, you've really got your finger on the pulse of small business and really think critically about the issues out there. And we're going to be talking with researcher Patty Kurgan in segments 3 and 4 about this Initiative 25. It's called LEAP. which is, it's a learning achievement. I should have that memorized because I'm talking about it all the time. But it's ostensibly to raise marijuana taxes for the children, for after-school tutoring programs. And have you had a chance to put some thought into this?
Yeah, just a little bit. I think kind of got my attention because I was looking at some of the research that you guys have published already, and an op-ed that you did. And I think that initially, as I was scanning, and I do spend time like almost weekly going through and seeing what's on the agenda for the state legislature. What are they trying to put on the ballot? What kind of laws are they passing? How might it impact a small business? What kind of impact does it have on individual freedom, et cetera? And at first, my thought on this one is it just kind of went right by. I'm like, well, this sounds okay. The whole part of the marijuana industry and improving that was that it would be, something that they could tax substantially to improve the health and welfare of Colorado citizens over time. They're targeting what sounds like a worthy cause. It seemed like there was, enough wording in there to keep them from reallocating most of those funds to something else whenever they felt like it. So my first reaction was that this is pretty good. But the one key thing that stuck out after I read on it a little bit more was the fact that it's implementing another bureaucratic agency, I guess is the best word for it, or committee that's responsible for running this program. And we seem to have a trend in Colorado right now where we're doing a lot of this. And these new positions that we're creating, whether it's the gun safety czar or this proposed commission, or it's going all the way back to what we do, how we managed our public health departments. These are all unelected people who are out of touch and out of reach of the citizenry. And that kind of concerns me quite a bit. Recently with COVID, I live in Douglas County, and we had a nonstop running battle with Tri-County Health because Tri-County Health was obviously representing three different counties. We had signed on to be part of that, but we ended up having zero control over how that health department was operating, the decisions they were making for Douglas County with respect to COVID. A lot of those decisions were really hard on small businesses in particular. There seemed to be no thought about the impact that would have, that their decisions would have economically on people. And so Douglas County is in the process of exiting that long-term agreement that we've had and creating our own entire health department, our public health department within Douglas County that will be accountable to the voters, so that it eliminates that entire layer of unelected bureaucrats that were used during COVID to enact some of the more draconian policies that damaged, the economy and locked us all down for months at a time. And a lot of that came through, one, the governor's emergency powers, which brings him outside of the control of anybody, and then then enabled and enacted through the county health departments, which are not accountable to the voters. So, that's it.
Well,
here we go with more of that.
This has all happened, and we haven't really, I didn't really understand it for quite some time, but this is, and sometimes politicians slough off the what they think are hard decisions to these bureaucratic agencies because they don't want to have to be accountable to the voters when they're doing something that maybe the voters might not like. And so we've gotten into a fourth branch of government, the administrative state, the bureaucratic administrative state. And now that we've woken up, not woke, maybe I should say that now that we have awakened to what is going on, when we look at this Initiative 25, it creates an authority that is not accountable to the voters, not accountable to the legislature, not accountable to the Department of Education, but funds them with a significant amount of tax money that they can then, they can choose the vendors, they choose the menu of quote unquote the different programs that would be open to families to choose from.
Right.
So I think that some of our really good principled Republicans have their name right now on the endorsement page because they've been told it's a step towards school choice and vouchers, which we all know is a good thing. But when you really read this, that is not the case. And I think we really need to push back on it. So what's happening right now, Hal, is there's two ways to get something on the ballot. One is referred by the legislature, or the other is through the citizen initiative. So right now, probably in front of your grocery store, there are petitioners out there saying, please sign this just to get it on the ballot. I think we need to keep this off the ballot because you can see, you looked at it initially and you're like, oh, this looks like, this sounds like an okay thing. So we can see how the consultants, who will be paid significant amounts of money, will spin this without people really looking at it. And so I think it's really important that we continue to inform people on this, Hal.
Yeah, I don't know how they can claim that it advances school vouchers or school choice when they have a provision in there that specifically attacks homeschool. None of these money, you know, the only thing they say these monies aren't allowed to go to are homeschool. You know, so they can do whatever else they want to do.
And
this unelected, yeah, you know. So and it's
tuition.
This unelected bureaucracy.
So it takes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what?
So it
what
takes
tuition?
Out private school, it takes out homeschooling.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know how you can imagine that a bill that it, the only place they ban the funding from is the very things that they're selling it as a step toward. I don't. Somehow I have a hard time believing that. I guess I'd have to read more of the details on that, but that doesn't seem logical either. And, you know, we're also in the midst of a very, you know, fiery debate around the country right now about what gets taught to our children. And a lot of these things are designed to provide counseling services, assistance services in terms of educational services and getting kids at risk back up to the grade level and the education level that they need to be. And there's no ability to control what gets taught to those children. Are they going to use the counseling services for, gender identity counseling, just as an example? And maybe people are okay with that, but if they weren't, it wouldn't make a difference. You're not going to have any choice in what they're telling your children anyway.
And to that point, again, if you look on the endorsement page, many of the groups that are endorsing it are very, very left-leaning. And as we're connecting the dots, they're probably endorsing it because they hope to be one of the vendors that is selected to do this after-school tutoring. And I think one thing we can all agree on, Hal, is that our kids are falling behind. I was with some people the other night, and I haven't sourced this, but it seems to make sense. We are number one in the world in spending money on education, but we're ranking number 34 as far as the results. And no parent, no matter what side of the aisle, wants their kids to fall behind. And I submit to you, it is because instead of using the school day and all this money that we're spending on it for our kids to learn what they need to know, reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, history, science, that we are using that time to push for this critical race theory or cousin thereof. Now that there's getting so much pushback on that, they're just renaming it like No Place for Hate or a variety of things. And then also sexualizing our kids through this LGBTQ curriculum that was very influenced by Planned Parenthood. And if instead of spending money, time, resources, our teachers focus on that, if we were spending time where we were supposed to, our kids would not be falling behind and we would not even be needing to have a conversation about this after-school tutoring program. Your final thoughts on that, Hal?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's obviously something, a lot of time has been taken up in the classroom addressing things that don't advance the educational, the root and, traditional educational objectives, because it's the proof is in the results of the level of education that our children are coming out with after they come out of the system. So you can't argue that something's wrong. And we do know that increasingly they're spending an enormous amount of time in these other type of social type discussions of one variety or another. And a lot of people would say, well, in the past, there's been initiatives to get back to the basics, reading, writing, and arithmetic and that type of thing, and push more into STEM and things like that. But I think that, that's a whole huge additional issue that we have, with public schools in general and whether or not having the government educate your children is the best route. And this whole initiative tying it back to what we're talking about right now, just implements an entire another shadow government responsible for what their children are taught, how they're counseled at a very early age, and is completely unaccountable to the electorate. And that's, to me, that's very scary. That's, we have an enormous amount of this fourth estate type activity going on, both at the federal level and at now at the state levels, which is, you know, very concerning when you're supposed to be a Republican and you're supposed to have people accountable to the citizenry through democratic processes.
Absolutely. Hal Van Herkey, always words of wisdom when you are on the show, and I so appreciate you and Linnea as sponsors of both the shows. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Patty Kurgan.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are supporting us as we are searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Patty Kurgan is in studio. You know her. She is an author. She's a researcher. And she's written a very important op-ed just recently, and there's another one that's going to be coming out this Sunday. So be sure and sign up for that weekly newsletter so you'll get first look at that. Patty Kurgan, it is great to have you in studio.
It's great to be here.
This Initiative 25, which is the Learning, Enrichment, and Achievement Plan or Program. Or academic, okay. One more time. I should know that because we're talking about
it
all the time.
It's Learning, Enrichment, and Academic Progress Program.
Boy, it sounds good.
Oh, it sounds great.
It sounds great. Interesting. Somebody approached you about this. We would not have even had this on our radar. This would have been so far down the road on getting the signatures on this, raising the money on this, that we, the grassroots, would have just been steamrolled. We may still be steamrolled, but we are working diligently to get the truth out there on that. So somebody just reached out to you and said, "Hey, take a look at this. I'm seeing that there's some very influential Republicans that are supporting this. What do you think?" And that's how this whole thing started.
Exactly. In fact, they asked me to look at Initiative 18. So there were two ballot initiatives that were dropped: 18-25. They both have LEAP in it. The programs are a little bit different, and the people that are the proponents decided on 25, and here we are discussing it.
Okay, so again, it sounds good, and I know that a number of people, when they hear about this, ostensibly it is to raise marijuana taxes for the children. That sounds good, right? Or maybe not so fast.
Right. Well, not only that, though, people are just centering in on marijuana. The authority that will be nominated and put in place by the governor, they have other duties that they can do, which includes they can take out loans, which nobody's talking about.
So they could take out loans. So would the marijuana people be the ones that have to pay those loans?
Well, I would think it would be the citizens or the residents of the state of Colorado that would be. It's not really clear as to who would be responsible. And the other fact that nobody's looking at is how much money is put into education right now. So with the current budget for fiscal year 21-22, there's over $8 billion there. And I when I'm reading LEAP, and it sounds good, the biggest flaw is nowhere are we addressing the true reasons why our students are behind and how we can fix it. So if we're all going to leap into this program, I'm like, well, are we just going to disregard what happens during the school day? That $8 billion just sort of goes away. Plus, there's a lot of money still floating out there from all the COVID relief funds. And it's interesting because it was the Common Sense Institute put a report out just this past June, and they estimate that there's about $149 million that still have to be spent. It's very specific. It's for the elementary and secondary school emergency relief funds. And when you're reading where this money has to go, it's like, well, this is what LEAP is. So there's $58 million that has to be spent on evidence-based interventions responding to the COVID-19 impacts, another $11.5 million on summer programming, $11.5 million on after-school program. The governor has also earmarked another $8.7 million for mental health screenings in schools and $5 million for tutoring to address learning loss during the COVID-19 school closures. So
there's money there.
There's money there. I don't know why we're looking at this program right now.
Well, and we've talked about it. You were on to talk about this blind leap of faith, this op-ed that you did a few weeks ago. The one that's coming out, though, you're connecting even more the dots.
Correct. Because they say that the citizens of Colorado want this. And I've never heard of anybody talking about a whole new program. In fact, it will be a parallel program because you'll have in-school learning and then you'll have out-of-school learning. So the two will be operating pretty much side by side.
Do all Colorado kids have access to this LEAP program?
If the way that they start out, it says all Colorado children, students, youth, and a couple pages into it, though, they change it to eligible children, and priority is giving to low-income students.
So let's say a middle-class family, they have a child that needs tutoring. Tutoring is expensive, but they probably need not apply because they are not needs-based on that. So a kid that really needs it might not even have access to it.
Correct. The proponents are saying, oh, no, middle-class students should be able to get it. The fact of the matter is there's only going to be so much money that goes around, and the priority is going to the low-income students. Or students who have shown, like let's say you have a third grader and they should be reading at a third grade level, but they're really reading at kindergarten or first grade, then they get a priority over some other students.
But they have to be low income first, right?
That's where they start. Okay. So they'll take the low income base students.
So they'll take the low income
and then
third
grader. Right, and then they prioritize them. So even within the low income, the first students will be those who are behind in their grade level and how far behind they are.
But those first ones, though, it'll be financial need-based, right? So
correct.
Financially need is the first thing. And then they look at kids that would need it. So the kids that qualify under financial need and need the program, then they would qualify.
Correct.
Okay. So, and then they have what, let's see, it's 100% of the poverty level and the 200. Anyway, it's going to, unless there's gets to be a whole bunch more money, middle-class people don't even have a chance at this, probably.
That's what I'm guessing.
And when we look at this, I mean, we don't know for sure how this is going to work out, but the way it's set up looks like it's going to be very difficult because I did the op-ed on 10 reasons to decline to sign, and I'm getting some comments, oh, no, middle-class kids can apply. But when you look at how it's stacked, it would be very difficult. But we're off in the weeds on this. I really want to get to some of these other things that you've connected these dots on, Patty.
Right. So, again, why all of a sudden does LEAP come up on everybody's radar? And why is it so important? So I started doing the web searches and trying to figure out, well, is there anything in place today? They're looking at it as a experimental program, more or less. This will be the first of its kind, and depending upon how it works, they'll fine-tune it to, you know, whatever needs to be done, and they would like this program to go out nationwide. So I started looking around on the web. Is there anything there? I looked at the endorsement page because some of the organizations, it's like, okay, they probably have some kind of vested interest, and sure enough, a lot of them
are. Or do they have a vested interest? Well, yeah.
Well, yes, both. Monetarily is definitely an investment for a lot of them. And one of them that is on the list is Reschool. And recently, someone had said.
So on the list of endorsing people that are in, or organizations endorsing this, correct?
Correct, okay. Is Reschool. And I looked at each of the organizations just quickly, just to see what they were about. Didn't really go into the details. And recently, there was an invitation that went out for a fundraiser for LEAP over in, what is it, Cherry Hills, I mm-hmm. think. And there were some names on it. I'm like, well, I know everybody except one. Who is this individual? So I went ahead and Googled him. His name is Tony Lewis, and he happens to be the person that really got Reschool moving. So he's with the DK Foundation. He started there like in the 2000s. They're very much interested, the foundation, in education. And he is the one that formed LEAP through, he's been with.
Reschool or LEAP?
Excuse me, Reschool.
Okay.
He started Reschool under the umbrella of DK in 2013. More like strategizing. What do you do for students who aren't doing well? What kind of programs could we put together? And in 2018, Reschool went off. It's its own nonprofit organization. And as you read it.
And what do they do exactly?
Well, they do exactly what LEAP wants to do.
Okay. And that's an after school program.
It's they have various vendors. I look at the vendors as providers, mm-hmm. and they fulfill the needs of students and their and families.
Is what they say.
Right. Yeah. And even this year, the Colorado Sun did an excellent piece summarizing what Reschool does. And they gave out 800 scholarships to families. A lot of them were getting $500 or less. So that goes into the financial aid piece. And these students were taking music lessons, soccer camp. Some of them were being tutored. So it really sounds a lot like what LEAP wants to do.
Now, when you and I've read LEAP, and in it they talk about reading, writing, arithmetic. And in my 10 Reasons to Decline to Sign, is this is the big overreaching question out there, Patty. Our kids are falling behind. We can see. People do not want their kids to fall behind. We don't want our children here in America to fall behind. We're number one in spending, I think, but we're correct. Like in 34 or whatever in results. So there's a problem there. I don't think that money is something that is the problem there. But when we look at the players on this, and now I forgot what I was going to say, which point I was going to make on this, of the top 10, that let's continue on because.
Well, I just want to say, like, so you have students and they're in school all day, let's say 8 to 2:30, 8 to 3. And then you're going to put them in another school environment for another 2-3 hours. It's like these kids need to get out, exert some energy.
Get a job if you're in high school.
Well, if you're in high school, absolutely. And so, again, I see this your in-school learning is running parallel with what they want to do with out-of-school learning.
And that was the point I wanted to make, is if in fact, we were using those school hour days and the teacher's resources to be teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, science, critical thinking, history, then we wouldn't need the LEAP program. But instead, we're messing around with CRT, the critical race theory or the iterations thereof, sexualizing our kids through the LGBTQ agenda. That's what's being taught in a lot of classrooms. How about let's take the money we're spending and put it into the classroom and teach our kids these critical things that they say that in LEAP they're going to teach that, but then there's all kinds of other stuff. You've mentioned there's mental health and all kinds of other stuff in there.
Correct. So, again, the taxpayers, throughout the state are paying for public education. We have billions of dollars invested. We need to give the students the academic program that they need to succeed in life. And then if people need the extra tutoring, or if they want the social programs and the agendas and things like that, they can do that after school through Reschool. They have
a nonprofit.
Reschool, if you look at it from the time that I've spent on their website, I think it's a good organization for people who need that. But it should be operated as a nonprofit and not part of the government. This is not the role of government to start this whole new educational system.
Okay.
That's not held accountable by anybody.
Okay. This is going to go fast, Patty. We need to go to break. But the question on the table is, how much money did Reschool have this last year? And then if LEAP is instituted, there's significant financial resources that go into this, and you can start to see that there's a lot of people that are going to make a lot of money if LEAP is put into place, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Patty Kirgan.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are supporting this. So, Patty, somebody reached out to you and had you take a look at this Initiative 25. And my friends, it's not just that question that when you see the petition, it's not just that. You actually have to go and take a look at that. And that is, I think we have links on that to both your op-ed and my op-ed. And it's about 14 pages long. And I'm very quickly going to run through, again, if people have not paid attention, this is why we think it's a bad idea. It increases the current 15% state marijuana retail tax. And I'm not going to go through what that is exactly. But as we look at it, as the price goes up, and we'll address that, as the price goes up, it actually, I think, can make the black market more attractive. Now, there are those, and in economics, there is this adage, if you want to have less of something, you tax it, except if there's an alternative market, right?
Correct.
Okay, so there's an alternative black market. Let's see, the next thing on this is, here we go. LEAP creates an unelected independent board that is not accountable to the voters, the legislature, or the Department of Education. It says it will create out-of-learning opportunities that are critical for all students, but then there's only eligible students throughout the rest of the initiative, when you look at that language. It allows for tutoring, it says, in reading, mathematics, science, and writing. And our kids are falling behind because we're not focusing on that during the school day, Patty.
Right. So it goes back to how's the time spent in the classroom? We obviously agree that it needs to be spent on academics, STEM. And if parents truly want the social agenda and issues, then they can go to that endorsement page, and there's a lot of organizations that are nonprofit that can provide that to the parents. Mm-hmm.
But all those organizations stand to make a lot of money if, in fact, LEAP goes into place. And if you take a look at some of those, a couple of them even are teaching critical race theory.
Correct. And that's one of the things about the board being held on accountable. Think of all the people who are going to board meetings right now for schools. And they're... expressing their displeasure for CRT or however they want to, or whatever way they call it. And the fact of the matter is the parents and the citizens that are showing up who are using the system, they're influencing the board to go in a different direction. If you have somebody who's not accountable, you won't have those meetings. They won't be open up to people's input, and they'll just ride down the road the way that they want to.
Right, because this board is, it's appointed by this governor, and then they ultimately get to choose their replacement. So even if a Republican governor was elected, you wouldn't have any power over this. This is not accountable, as you said, to the people, to the legislature, or to the Department of Education.
Correct.
And they'd have all kinds of money. And you mentioned something that they could actually take out loans that we would have to pay.
Right.
Okay, which is kind of a sneaky way to get around Tabor. And there's at the very end, they also get around Tabor and the last two paragraphs on future revenue and all on that. The other thing, though, and there's some good people that have their name on this endorsement page. We really would encourage them to take their name off. And I think they've been sold that it might be a step towards vouchers and school choice.
Correct.
How would you address that?
Well, Andy Kerr, who was a senator up at the Capitol, he wrote an editorial. You can go ahead and search it on the web. And he specifically states, I want you to know that vouchers can never be used in this system. It's a one-sentence paragraph. He's very blunt. No vouchers will ever be a part of this.
He's probably trying to assure the teachers union, who initially they thought that there was vouchers there. And I think that's why we have some good folks on here. And I really would encourage you to take that off. And then school choice, once again, this unelected board, they're going to select the vendors. They're going to select the menu. So parents would have a choice from that pre-selected menu. It goes back to, when the Model T came out, you could have any color you wanted as long as it was black. You know, so you can have any choice you want as long as it's pre-selected. Patty, we only have a few minutes, but there's a couple of people or organizations that will make a lot of money off this.
Absolutely.
Are we going to name names?
Well, the one that popped out to me the most is on the invitation for the fundraiser that's going to be next Tuesday was Senator Josh Penry. And Mr. Penry has his consulting firm. He's well known for putting together campaigns, whether it's issues or for individuals running for office. And at the bottom of the invitation, it turns out that checks were supposed to be written out to learning opportunities for Colorado kids. And Michelle Heydrick is the registered agent on it. And she works for the 76 group. 76 group used to be EIS Solutions, and that's Josh Penry's groups. So obviously he's going to be running this campaign.
And typically consultants and probably make 10, 15, 20% off the campaign. So whether or not you win or lose, they still make their money. And I think that it is very important to draw this dot, because if this gets on the ballot, there's going to be a big campaign. And I was talking to somebody yesterday. She said, well, is anybody funding the no side on this? I said, no, it's the grassroots. She's like, this is going to pass and it's going to get steamrolled. And as you look at that, I would submit to you that this is one of the reasons why Colorado is why Colorado is because we haven't stood on principle. In fact, I think you just connect the dots on the money, and I think it's pretty darn important.
And there's a lot of money that will be flowing to specific individuals.
And one of our colleagues had actually done an analysis, I think it was on the 2018, the money there. Because they always say, oh, Republicans don't have money. Democrats have all the money. And Democrats do have a lot of money. But my understanding is from this analysis that $77 million was spent on right and center-right issues in the 2018 election cycle. And let's just figure it out. If a consultant is making 10, 15%, that's anywhere from $7.7 million to well over $10 to $11 million. So there's a lot of money that is being made there. And then what they do is they hire different operatives, different organizations that are out there to make it look like there's more people out there that are supporting it. But there's a lot of money that is made on that. And my understanding is that like 40-some million of it was spent to defeat 112, which was that setback rule, the oil and gas guys. And it was defeated. The people of Colorado spoke. And then this legislature, the new legislature, and Governor Polis came in, and they put in, what was that? I can't remember what the bill number was, but it put in draconian setbacks. So all that money was basically spent and nothing happened on it. Patty, I'm looking at this. We've got a minute left. How do you want to button this baby up today?
First off, I encourage everybody to read it. Do not take sound bites. Read it. It's easy, and you'll have a better understanding of what Kim and I are talking about. Then go on the endorsement page for LEAP, start looking at the organizations, and ask yourself those questions. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. And I think you'll come to the same kind of conclusions that we are.
And if you see a name on there of somebody you really like and respect, encourage them, reach out to them, and encourage them to take their name off this endorsement page.
Correct.
Okay.
And don't give up, grassroots. We are strong here in Colorado, and if we all come together, we can defeat this.
Okay. We've got our work cut out for us, and sign up for our weekly newsletter so you can see Patty's latest op-ed that will be connecting these dots. Our quote for today is William Shakespeare. He said, "No legacy is so rich as honesty." So, Patty, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Turning further from my home. Young, like a new